waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory. We'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997. What we just did.
That would be the greatest scene in golf forever, Jim Nantz.
And that hug with his children, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human. Zach Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Bubba, Xander. Poulter takes his cap off for him. Bernhard Langer, Koepka. Pure greatness. You saw it. Come back again. The moments don't come any bigger than this. Jack Nicklaus is in the Bahamas bone fishing. But he came in to watch, and we reached out to Jack, and he sent along this message. A big well done from me to Tiger. I am so happy for him and for the game of golf. This is just fantastic.
They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
They're crazy enough to let me be in charge.
Russ Ivanek.
8 out of 10 from the judges. 5 out of 10 from the German judge.
And Justin Marcus.
Our best defense has been long, hard, and yellow all year long.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, welcome into Armchair Sports Talk, and this episode is really going to be that I think our opener says it perfectly. We may not know a lot about sports because, Lord knows, in the last week, many things have happened that we didn't call, and it just shows how crazy the game of sports is. Going to bring in Russ Ivanek. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Hey, Tiger may or may not be back, but sure I'm glad we are.
We are, yeah. I'm so glad we're back. Jay Marcus, happy to have you in here, buddy. Always look forward to hearing what you have to say. And I know you're a little happy because deep down secretly, I know you are a little bit of a Tiger fan.
Oh, I've got no qualms against Tiger at all. I think it's a damn good thing what he did. So between that and what the Islanders did, I'm a happy man in those regards.
Yeah, it's been a fun week. Well, first we have to talk about Tiger. We have to talk about what he did. I mean, even Michael Jordan has come out and said this is the greatest comeback in sports history. The guy was out of it, no longer considered a threat a few years ago, and now he's back to the top. Some are arguing that he should be the number one player in the world. I don't think we're there yet. I think, you know what, you got to win a few more times, prove a little more consistency before we put you right back up on that perch. But a fifth green jacket, only one person has more than he does in that regard. Creeping closer to Jack for the all-time majors. Don't know if he'll get there, but Russ, in the way of sports, this is arguably one of the best comebacks we've ever seen from an athlete who was widely considered out of it altogether.
Well, it's a great sports moment. I mean, especially for something like golf that is such an individual sport. This is akin to, you know, the Cubs breaking a long World Series streak, you know, or the Buffalo Sabres finally making the playoffs. Like, oh my God, it feels like we've waited for this for so long. So yeah, it was exciting, even for someone that doesn't follow golf all that much.
Oh, definitely. Jay, I just, of all the texts we sent during that, there was one that stood out. That hug between Tiger and his son, it was a very gripping moment. I remember you texting that it, you know, brought a little mist to your eye. It did to me as well. As a father, how much more great are those moments when you see someone embracing, you know, a family member, a son, a daughter, a father, mother? It's just, it always seems to clinch on a little bit more, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, because you take the individualism out of it, and it's a very, it's a family moment. Like, I learned that that hug was very transcendent because he used to be hugging, you know, his parents after he was playing in a round. I think even at the Masters, there was one time he hugged his dad. And then, you know, fast forward so many years later, now he's hugging his own kids, both his son and his daughter. And then I believe his girlfriend slash wife. I don't know the relationship status there. But, you know, just when you get to experience that and they get to see, you know, him coming back and going back to his prime again, it's like he's peaking twice. So I cried. I straight up cried, man. It was nice to see.
I got misty as well. I'm not gonna pretend like you were the only one. It was a very touching moment. As someone who's followed Tiger, you know, since very early on, it was one of those things where I've never made any qualms. Growing up, I was not a Tiger fan. I was a Phil Mickelson fan. They were the rivals, so it was, you know, I always kind of didn't want to see Tiger have success. Obviously, I didn't get to see that very often as he went on a tear in the early 2000s, but when he won it, when he came back, when he finally did this, I texted my wife and said, you know what? I'm actually happy for him because the guy put in the time. He literally was humbled on live TV for years there where he went out and shot rounds that average people are doing on our local golf courses. He really just didn't have it anymore. And now he appears to be back. He appears the game is in good form. But I will say this. The one thing is happening that I knew exactly would happen if he ever won another major. He is all of a sudden the favorite to win all the majors again. And it's like, listen, it was 11 years between. Maybe let's see if he can put together a couple good rounds leading up to the next major before we automatically just hand him the trophy. Because the way it's written now, he's going to break Jack's record at the end of this year, and that's not even remotely likely. So we'll see what happens. Am I happy he's back? Yeah, it makes the game that much better. It's just that much more competitive. It's why the NBA got better when Jordan decided to give up trying to play baseball. It just makes it that much better. So it's fun to see. Well, we'll see what he can do with it. But
I've got one qualm with all that, though.
Okay.
The fact that Dustin Johnson and Spieth are playing in the Heritage Classic right now and Woods is not. There's still money to be won.
Sorry, one more time. You cut out a little bit on me there.
No, just that he's not participating in the Heritage Classic. Dustin Johnson and Spieth are playing in it right now as we speak, and Woods is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. So I'm not impressed with him, though, honestly. I think his game leveled off. I think he had one really good year and all of a sudden was shot into this, you know, atmosphere that he's really not quite ready for. But, Russ, the thing I want to talk about you, because Jay and I are somewhat golf fans. We follow the sport. We watch it. We know enough about it to speak intelligently most times. You're open in saying you're not a big golf guy. You're really, you know, I don't think you'd know the difference between a pitching wedge and, a lawn rake. But
I might know the difference there.
It's possible. I don't know.
I certainly use one of them way more than the other.
Probably. We know Jay uses the lawn rake when he plays golf, but that's fine. It's fine. He spends a lot of time in the tall grass. But the thing you did that I found very impressive, because I when we have you do these predictions, I fully view them as, you know, just for the fun of it. We see how creative you can get, knowing that, you know, you're probably not going to finish in the top. Well, you picked the guys who came in second place tied right behind Tiger. It's just astonishing. Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, both finished tied for second at 12 under, one shot behind Tiger. I don't even know how to phrase this question, so I'm going to ask it in the most blunt way possible. How on earth did you do? That's my challenge for you. For the live show next week, I want you to calculate the math on the chances you could ever do that again. Because, dear Lord, that's crazy.
The odds are shitty, I'll tell you that. It's a lot of dumb luck, a bit of eating stroopwafel every day since I mentioned it last week because it's delicious, and I assume it helped him win,
mm-hmm.
almost win. And the rest of it's probably just trying to make dick jokes, if I'm being honest there.
Yeah.
I did look at some models. I did do some research because I'm not going to come in here and just completely talk out of my ass. I like making the jokes when it comes to golf, and I have to trust the numbers more than context for a lot of other things, but I'm not going to completely come out of left field on my picks here. So there was maybe a little bit of cheating, but mostly mostly dumb luck.
Okay.
Mostly dumb luck.
What's wrong with talking out of your ass? Like, I've made a living out of doing it for the last year and a half on this show.
Well, we all can't do it now, can we? Somebody's got to have an informed opinion.
It's a skill set, my friend. You know, you just don't come in here swinging, man. That's why I'm the quarterback. That's how it goes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All I could say is you've set the bar. We've got three more majors this year. We're going to cover all three of them, and you set the bar here, buddy. You got nowhere to go but down right now. And I got to tell you, I want to see you keep up this level of intensity. And if you can't predict every second place finisher for the next three, I'm going to be very, very sad. It's going to really disappoint me.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to keep picking Johnson, and I have no problem if that leads to me going down.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
It's not going to help my FanDuel picks. I'm going to start using you as my model of what I'm going to start doing to bet.
Couldn't find the button. Otherwise, that would have gotten played a little bit earlier.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, since no one ever gets to see the behind the scenes of this show, like literally, I got to think our significant others think we have a serious addiction to each other, because if you saw our text thread, it is nonstop all day. And for the most part, it is all sports, trying to figure out, what do we want to talk about this? Is this going to work? Well, before the show, Russ gave me a little tease on he's got something for this. So I can't wait any longer. It's like Christmas. At 4 a.m., I want to open my presents. We're going to start talking NBA playoffs right now so I can know what this is. I cannot wait any longer. Let's lead it off as close to home as we can. Guys, the Detroit Pistons suck. They suck really bad. A 120-99 loss the other night to the Milwaukee Bucks. And listen, Jay, like, this one's pretty simple. Key to success, he's sitting on the end of the bench. His name's Blake Griffin, and he's just not playing for the rest of this series. So basically adds up to the fact that he's not playing for the rest of our season, because in two games it's going to be over if we don't have Blake Griffin out there.
Yeah, no, it was weird. I knew he was not playing, because that's all I've been like seeing in headlines. But I committed to watching a quarter, and it was very rough. Andre Drummond just chilling, like, just inside the arc, and he just, like, plants himself in the middle and just, like, looks around, holds the ball. I'm like, move your fucking feet. Like, do something. And that's why I made the joke that, like, his shoes just clashed with the green paint, so that's why he's not hitting the paint of the lane. And I was just like, I mean, I can't make an informed opinion on this because I don't watch enough, but the quarter that I did watch, I was like, yeah, I got to go watch the Blues and the Jets beat on each other. I got to skip it.
That's fair. I mean, I would be lying if I said I was able to make it through both games. It's tough to watch. It really, really is tough to watch. Listen, when you have one of the best players in the league, it does seem to make sense that person is kind of necessary for you to continue success. So when your best player is in a suit at the end of the bench, not playing, you know, there's something taken away. Now, these last two games, I think we've lost by a combined close to 50 points. So
more than that.
More. I mean, I think the first one was like 30 something, and then the second one obviously
was 40.
Was what?
It was. I'll find the exact number, but it was.
We lost 120.
40.
We lost 120-99 the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was, like 121 to
35.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay, so a grand total of 50, 56, 57 points total. So obviously I don't think that Blake Griffin's good for 57 points in two games necessarily, especially if he's as injured as he is. But at the same time, you got to think it'd be a little more exciting, be a little more competitive. Not by any means saying that we're going to win this series. We all had this down as a Milwaukee, you know, victory in the end. But I think it'd make it a little more enticing, give us something to pay attention to, because they're the only Detroit team we have in the postseason right now, so you got to clinch to that. The rest of this, not really much to surprise. Celtics up two on Indiana. I thought Indiana was going to be a little better. It's just not there right now. The series that's actually getting me is that the Brooklyn Nets have this series tied up with the Philadelphia 76ers, and Ben Simmons is catching a lot of flack in the media right now as a guy who is supposed to be billed as one of the best players in the league, and he's just not looking at it right now. D'Angelo Russell is giving him a good work and making it very tough for him. I have to say, of that, all those East series, that's the one that's kind of scaring me the most. Toronto-Orlando split, but I just don't see it. I think Toronto's just got too much talent. Kawhi Leonard's just too good. that one should get turned around quickly. But the fact that the Sixers are split series with the Brooklyn Nets is just horrifying to me. I do not like it. With everybody on that team, Embiid, Butler, J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, there's just too much talent for this to even be close. If this series doesn't get turned around to a 3-1 very, very fast, I'm going to be horrified, because it's going to prove that I really don't know anything about sports. So,
well, there's an inherent bit of randomness to the playoffs, though.
There is.
You have to appreciate that. It's, I mean, it's an 82-game season, and I'm sure we'll get into this for hockey, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a lot more clear that you have a best team at the end of 82 games as opposed to four,
mm-hmm.
right? Seven if you're lucky. Like, crazy shit can happen. And well, we'll see on the Golden State series when we talk about it. Crazy shit does happen.
It's very true. Crazy shit does happen. Leading into that, Golden State, it's the Clippers. That's all I'm going to say right now. We talk about him, or Jay and I talk about him a lot, not on this show. I'm going to channel my inner Valeni. It's the Clippers. The fact that you are the favorite to win this all, you're one of the best teams in the last decade. You're literally the dynasty of basketball for the 2010 and on. And you are 1-1 with the LA Clippers. I don't understand this. It does not make sense. Listen, I'm gonna break this down real easy. Steve Kerr, you've won titles as a player. You've won titles as a coach. I'm going to teach you your winning strategy. There's this guy. He's a little, he's a light-skinned individual. He's got some bad teeth. His dad played in the NBA for a while. His name's Steph Curry. Give him the goddamn ball. Everybody else get out of the way. Steph Curry just starts shooting. You know why? Because it tends to work very well for them. They win games. Draymond Green went to State. I understand means he's probably not the smartest person on earth, but he should understand. Get under the basket, rebound the ball. When you rebound it, Steph's going to be right there. If he missed, give it back to him. If he made it, hand it to the ref, go to the other side of the court and play defense. That's how you win the title you get past the Clippers, because Steph Curry is one of the best players in the league, arguably the greatest shooter of all time, and he's just, he's in the middle of his career. He's not even remotely slowing down. This should be a no-brainer. This should be a series that if the Clippers even get within 20 points of them, the rest of it, I'm going to be very concerned. I know I went on a little rant there. I feel bad about it, but at the same time,
no, you own that shit, man.
Stupid. Go ahead, Russ.
Hey, though, Steph Curry did put up 29 and shoot 45% from three in the game they lost. So it's not exactly like he isn't being fed. He had 11 three-point attempts.
No, I know. I agree. I'm not saying he's not being fed. I'm just saying that if you go through the math of this, Steph Curry's got multiple titles. He's played very well. He even has one of those when Kevin Durant isn't on his team. So when it comes to the pieces of that team, Kevin Durant's great. He's one of the best players in the league. He's an elite scorer. He's a phenomenal talent. But Curry and even Klay Thompson, they were doing this before Durant. So Durant is an addition to that. So that's like saying, Jordan and Pippen, and then you add in like Larry Bird. Larry Bird's a phenomenal player, but Jordan and Pippen were doing it before. So let's go back to what the original catalyst was, the original thing that was working, and that's Steph Curry. If you're gonna get into it's a weird argument to have because they're so monumentally different. But if you're telling me right now who's the best player on that team, I say it's Steph Curry. Kevin Durant's great, but Steph Curry is just a generational different type of player. I mean, he was 3 or 4 years into the league, and sports people were already debating, is he the greatest point guard of all time? And I'm sorry, there's a list there of Magic, Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton, that he's got to get past, and he's already in that discussion. Name the last time someone asked if Kevin Durant is the best small forward of all time.
Oh, yeah, he's had the unfortunate circumstance of also playing with LeBron James.
That's fine. So, yeah. I'm saying, but that's the other thing. The difference is LeBron, once in a generation type of talent. Agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, hands down.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Kevin Durant's a phenomenal player, and he did have to play, with. Like, at the same time as LeBron. So that is something different. But I'm saying is Curry's a once-in-a-generation type of player. We have not seen a guy with these types of handles, like Allen Iverson. and this kind of shot, Ray Allen, but we've never seen them together. You've never seen, you know, Ray Allen be able to make three people miss and then get his shot off. Or you've never seen Iverson be able to dribble past everybody and then stop and then be 5 feet behind the three-point line and shoot it like he's shooting a free throw. So I just think Curry's gotten you there so many times before. He's going to do it again. I think you got to go to him. You just got to keep trusting him. He's, to me, the key to success. I like Klay Thompson. I like Draymond Green. I like Kevin Durant. You heard me say that, Jay. I like Draymond Green. Okay, I like him.
That's more like it. He also has an education.
He does have an education.
Has he kicked anyone recently?
That's what I was going to say. He has a future as an NFL punter because he's kicked so many people in the junk that he could probably, you know, boot a nice 60-yarder if he wanted to. I like that team. It's an all-star team by itself. So to say it's going to be competitive with everybody, I don't see a team that has a roster stacked except for the 76ers that should be able to stay with them. But I just think you're down 1-1. This isn't a back-against-the-wall kind of situation. But at the same time, you need to get the easy games out of the way early because Lord knows when you get into that third and even the finals, it's not going to be easy games. You're going against the team that's the best in the leagues because they've won consistently as well. That to me is why Golden State Warriors need to just start feeding Curry and let him do what he's done best to get them championships in the past. Russ, this is the one we were talking about before the show. We said we were doing these predictions a little early, excuse me, because at the time we had it as Portland, Utah, and Houston, Oklahoma City. Now those got flipped a little bit. They got changed a little bit. So I have to ask you, this is the one that we pointed out and we kind of giggled about. How much joy are you getting right now at the fact that the Portland Trailblazers are up 2-0 on the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Oh, so much, and even more so that Lillard is just straight up disrespecting Westbrook.
Oh, God, yes.
He goes out to guard him on a three. Westbrook shoots, and Lillard just starts flexing, like actually just flexing as the ball misses. Claps, goes down, drains a three from 5 feet behind the line. Just staring him down the whole time. Just, I am absolutely loving it. It's the battle of two guys wearing number zero, and you know who's coming out on top? Well, it's not the guy who's got zero wins in the series. This is hysterical, and it makes for great sports.
Okay. My second question for you, Jay, I want to get to you too, but Russ, you'll lead this one off. What do you think is more likely to be seen? Because both series are at 2-0. More likely that we're going to see an Oklahoma City comeback or a Utah Jazz comeback against the Houston Rockets?
We know
what we're getting with Oklahoma City. You're going to get Westbrook shooting it 50 times. Paul George probably putting up 25 points a night. You know what you're getting there. On the other side, Utah's got talent, but it all flows through Donovan Mitchell. So it's kind of a two-headed monster or a top-tier player.
So I like Donovan Mitchell. I like Rudy Gobert with that team over in Utah. I initially thought that they would take over Portland when we had them set up.
Okay.
But I don't like the way they're stacked up against Houston. I'm not picking against Houston. If Houston goes on and Denver goes on, I'm picking Houston after that. So I can't really change my tune there. So by default, I guess OKC has the advantage, but this is a team that, yeah, it's volume Russell Westbrook, and Russell Westbrook is not doing all that great.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Triple-Double was shooting 35% from the field in his last game. Like, that's really not good. That's even worse when you're taking half your team's shots.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll give it to OKC, but if McCollum keeps playing like this, there's not a lot of chance of that either.
Okay. Nothing we're saying here is us saying we want to see that. Obviously, we want to see Portland.
No.
We want to see the brooms come out. Absolutely. And Houston, we like Utah, so to see Utah do it would be great. But Houston winning it, that to me is just a good series because you don't really lose anything no matter who wins. You get to see the beard keep going and potentially face off against Golden State. Or you get to see, you know, Donovan Mitchell carry this team and put them in a status where they're a team to be reckoned with in the West. So you're not losing anything in that series. Portland, we'd love to see Lillard keep going. We absolutely do. Jay, my question for you. In the last 2 minutes, about five or six different NBA names were mentioned. We did this last week. Can you tell me the player we just spoke about for the Utah Jazz?
Donovan Mitchell.
Atta boy. So proud of you.
I am paying attention, but no joke, when I was watching that one quarter, I saw Hill on the back of a Bucks jersey. I'm like, I didn't know Grant was still in the league.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's so bad. that got me. Jay, I'm just so impressed. I was so hoping for, like, crickets. Just,
No, he was paying attention.
He was. No, I know he was.
I didn't know who Donovan Mitchell was, like, before 5 o'clock today, though.
That's fine.
could have been a Piston, too. That's what drives
Yeah,
me
he
crazy.
Could have.
They
he actually could have.
Him.
They did. Don't get me started on the people the Pistons passed on throughout the years.
Know.
Like, it almost could rival the Detroit Lions, and that's saying a lot. So
then you're going to hate my surprise.
All right. We got one more game to cover real quick. Denver Nuggets, San Antonio Spurs. I'd be lying if I said I saw a second of this series. We both, Russ and I both picked Denver. They are the better team. It's a 1-1 series. So, Russ, the question for you really is, I mean, not knowing a lot about either of these teams outside of a couple names here and there, is this a San, I guess, I have, how to word it, this is a Greg Popovich effect, right? He's just been successful in the NBA that you could pretty much hand him five NBA players. If you give him enough time, he's going to get them into a form that they're going to be able to compete. Maybe not win every game, but be able to compete in a series against almost anybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not like he had complete scrubs either. I mean, Aldridge, and then this is where DeMar DeRozan is now.
Yeah, this is where DeMar DeRozan is, Jay, in case you didn't know.
He does have some talent, but yeah, I'm not going to take a Pop team to get swept, even if I'm going to take them to lose the series.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, we both agreed that Denver was the team that would just, on paper, yep, on that floor, more talent present, but at the same time, this, to me, feels like the Popovich effect. Not even expecting a sweep. I'm actually expecting a series, because this is a guy who, he's been doing it for so long and with such success that you give him enough time, he's going to figure what you're doing out, and he's going to figure out how to stop it. So it turns into the chess match between the coaches, because now Pop's got your number. You have to figure out something he's not expecting. You almost have to just shock and awe there. So it is interesting. I still think Denver takes this series, but I think it'll be a lot more competitive of a series and a lot more fun. It's one of those silent series that at the end you look and go, wow, this one went to seven? How'd it go to seven? You scratch your head wondering.
Oh, and it's one that really Pistons fans should be paying attention to, because this is a Denver team that Nikola Jokic, their center, is leading all playoff scorers in assists right now, with 11 per game, and is averaging 13.5 rebounds per game. This is a team that has Jokic and Millsap, so they're relying on two bigs.
Yep.
Oh, and they're being successful. You want to go see what that actually looks like, what that composition has to look like to be successful? Go look over there and look that it is not what we have in Detroit.
Please don't tell me that was your surprise, because if so, really don't like it.
No, it wasn't, sadly.
So basically, I don't think a lot's changed. We're still thinking Milwaukee. We're still thinking Boston. I think the consensus is Toronto getting through. Philly, Nets, that right now is a total toss-up. Should be Philly. Golden State, Houston, Utah. Like I said, there's no loss in that one. You're getting a good competition either way. We all want to see Portland get through, and then Denver gets through it all. So it's exciting. We'll see what can happen with it. It should be fun, and hopefully by this time next week, we'll have a couple series wrapped up, and we'll be able to look on to the next one, like we're going to be able to do with the NHL here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Russ, what's your surprise? What's going to hurt me?
So I'm looking at this Pistons roster.
Okay.
Without Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Without any answer for Giannis. And I think to myself, hey, that Chris Middleton guy looks pretty good. Hey, Spencer Dinwiddie's doing pretty good. I wonder, would you take the current Detroit Pistons starting lineup or this set of 5+1 former Pistons currently in the playoffs? We've got Chris Middleton, Spencer Dinwiddie, DJ Augustine, Boban Marjanovic, Tobias Harris, and Marcus Morris. all guys that the Pistons have cast aside for one reason or another, whether it's just free agency or in a trade, and you can make a very strong argument that they'd be better off just fielding that team instead of who they actually have.
Okay, so Augustine and Dinwiddie are both guards. I believe both point guards, but both guards.
Yeah, but Dinwiddie, I think, has played some, too.
Yeah, yep. Middleton is a four.
He's a wing.
He's a wing, okay. You said Tobias Harris and...
and Morris, yep.
And Morris, and then, well, Morris you can take out of that equation. I think that guy's a head case, but...
Oh, he's a sixth guy,
And then Boban, okay.
Against, Kennard, Jackson, Ellington, Drummond,
you're saying
Galloway,
what's on the floor right now. Okay, you're saying what's on the floor.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm going to say no. And my reasoning for it is, of everyone you mentioned, I still think Andre's better. I still think he's a hell of a basketball player. I think the addition of Blake, albeit helpful to the overall product, has kind of stunted Andre a little bit. Andre, before Blake, was the man. You saw him, you saw every play cycling through him time after time after time after time. Since Blake came, the offense has been shifted. It's, all right, we're going to go through Blake. You're still going to get the ball, Andre, but we're going to go through Blake. We're going to let Blake kind of, if Blake touches the ball, and we see what we get. So I think Andre just looks bad in this series because he spent the last year and a half not having to be the man. He's kind of just got to, he's got to get the rebounds, get the putbacks. The offense is still going to come to him, but not as much. So I think he's still struggling. I think a lot of times, kind of like we said with the Stafford-Tate effect, I think Andre catches the ball, and I think his first instinct is to go, okay, where's Blake? I'm still going to do what I need to do, but where's Blake?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think from that aspect, a little tough. Hold on, water time.
Well, I'll try and fill some air there. I 100% agree that Andre Drummond might be the best player out of that bunch that we mentioned there if Blake Griffin's still injured and out of the equation. But to keep it in perspective, all six of those players that are former Pistons, all averaging over 10 points per game in the playoffs so far. Only three Pistons are doing that right now, Kennard, Drummond, and Reggie Jackson.
Well, you actually touched right into my second point. I'm not a Reggie Jackson fan, so I would actually give him away for Darko if that was an option. But
I know that name.
Yeah, you know that name. My second point actually is for the fact that I am very big on Luke Kennard. I think he's a heck of a basketball player. And yet, he's a Blue Devil. Okay, get over it. That's not even the reason I'm big on him. He's found a role on this team. He's not expected to be the big-time scorer night in and night out. But he is expected, when gone to be effective. We're not looking for you to go for 30 a night. We have the players that can do that. What we're looking for from you is precision and efficiency. So if we give you that ball five times a night, we really like it to be four to five makes a night. When you're gone, we need no mistakes. We don't need turnovers. We need effective play. And he appears to be able to do that. Over time, his scoring has improved. They're starting to be able to work him more into the offense. And he's legitimately become a kind of a fan favorite. During the trade deadline, his name came up in multiple trades. And every time, the Pistons said, nope, 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 can't have him. Because I think he really is a piece that they see a chance for a future with. So, that being said, I think neither of these two teams, the team we have now or the team that you're talking about that we put together, neither of them are beating Milwaukee. It's not happening.
Oh, no. Not even close.
But I think given the circumstance...
Might not even make the game further.
No, absolutely not. But given the circumstance, I think A, I like the pieces we already have. And B, every one of those guys, they were good when we had them. But they were never the best. They so happen to be the guys that are discarded that are at least somewhat, remembered. I mean, Boban's remembered for the fact that he could touch the ceiling of the stadium on his bare feet. But it's just, I like where you're going with that. I really do, because it reminds me, hey, look at all these guys we had that are still successful in the league, even though we got rid of them. But I just think the team we have right now, night in and night out, makes more sense. That's just where I am with it.
All Well, there's your optimism, Detroit.
What about you, Jay?
If you would have listed the six people who were prior NBA players for Pistons, I couldn't tell you that. I wouldn't know if they were like current rostered or old rostered. But I do know Luke Kennard's name. I remember him getting drafted. I remember him playing college hoops. And if that's like the equivalent of our Larkin, then you keep saying no and denying those trade calls every day of the week, because they have to have something for the future. Like I can rap about how basically you have to have a future. If you don't have a present and you're going to be the first team or the last team in and the first team out, you better have pieces for the future. And that's just basic, simple math. So if Luke Kennard's that guy, you hang on to him all day long.
Okay. All right. My best way of describing Luke Kennard, and I'm going to bring up another Blue Devil, so everybody get over it. Luke Kennard, to me, has the potential to be, for the Pistons, what J.J. Redick is for the 76ers. Not expected to, you know, be the team's leading scorer, even though there have been months and nights where he consistently is. But when we go to you, we're expecting you to do the job we're paying you to do. We're not expecting you to try to make three guys miss and finish at the basket. You're a three-point shooter. That's what we want from you. We're going to set up plays to get you that, but we need you to execute and execute effectively. That's what I see Kennard being. He'll never be, you know, Mr. 28 a night and, you know, Mr. Highlight Reel. But what he can be is a very effective 15 to maybe 19 a night, but effective. Finishing with, you know, high three-point percentage, high shooting percentage. Someone who can draw fouls, get to the line, and score. He's a one-sided player. He can get to the basket, but he's more known for his ability to, you know, to set up and shoot. So go ahead and do that. That's how you live in this league. That's why you hear about these guys who are not the most athletic, but somehow they're still in the NBA because they have a skill set that's unique and they execute it effectively. You know, it's kind of like that knuckleballer. Knuckleballers don't really exist, but the few that do, they do it very well, and that's how they get to stay in baseball. So that's where I see Kennard being, but that's why I like that they weren't willing to part ways with him. The front office sees what he's effective for and knows there aren't a lot of guys in the league that are willing to accept that role. A lot of guys that can do that want to be like LeBron. They want to still get to the basket and have those highlight reel dunks and all that. And it's like, well, you can't do that. And how we know you can't do that is because a guy that's the same height, if not shorter than you, went with you to the basket and then blocked you. And no, but you are very good at shooting. So why don't you try that? Go ahead and make a living out of that. Steph Curry goes to the basket, but nowhere near as often as he shoots from half court, because guess what? He's really good at shooting from half court. So go ahead and do that. We like you for that. We'll give you a contract extension if you do that. So, what do I know?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I thought that was the theme of today, is what do we know, right?
Exactly. And I'm proving to you how little I actually know. Take a quick breather. When we come back, we got to talk NHL playoff hockey. These guys got a lot to talk about because it's been a crazy, crazy first round of the NHL playoffs. So do that and a little bit more when we come back here on Armchair Sports Talk.
Hi, this is Jason Pinkham from Pucking Around and Spinning the Wheels on Sports Radio Detroit. Check us out every Sunday over on the SRD Hockey feed on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. That's SRD Hockey in your search bar. New episodes every week.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, it wasn't a very long break, but it was enough for us to handle a little bit of business. You know, plug another show on Sports Radio Detroit. And guys, how much do we like Sports Radio Detroit? They're kind of great. They're, you know, helping us out, getting our name out there. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah, shirts are pretty good too.
Yeah, they're not too terrible. Not too terrible. All right, well, let's. It's the biggest part of our show. It's the one that's probably the most interesting right now. Let's talk a little playoff hockey. No, we don't go right for the exciting. That would just be too obvious.
Oh.
No, see, Jay got so excited. So
I'm already primed
excited.
And ready.
Yeah, he's ready. So let's go to the one that we know Jay's going to hate the most.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Let's talk about the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, my Christ.
There it is.
But, see, Jay hates this one the most, but he should love it the most. Because Vegas is up 3-1 on San Jose. Your lack of color team is finally going to leave. The beautiful, beautiful teal jerseys of San Jose are almost out of the playoffs. That's got to make you at least a little bit happy, Jay.
Dude, I can watch Erik Karlsson flat-footed getting dusted every single day of the week. And teal is not a real color. And you have no answer to Mark Stone. Like, what he's doing for Vegas is just, it's unreal. Like, I'm comparing the Vegas acquisition of Stone and the Sharks acquisition of Nyquist. And I don't even know if Nyquist has logged any time on the ice yet. I haven't even seen him because my eyes don't pick up the color teal when I watch TV. But all jokes aside, I love what Vegas is doing. I wish that they're not going to be the team coming out of the West going for the Stanley Cup because I wanted Calgary to do it.
Yeah.
But if it means that Vegas takes out the Sharks in round one and typical Sharks lose in the first round of the playoffs, I'll be happy because they look absolutely dreadful right now, especially on defense.
By the way, I made a little bet with myself before the show on how long it would take you to bring up Stone when I brought up this series. The answer to that question is 10 seconds. 10 seconds into his analysis, Stone was right there. I knew it was coming after talking to you the other day. Now let's talk to someone who's not totally angry at one team because of their choice of color. Russ, when you look at this matchup, I know me. I personally thought that San Jose was going to have a shot and was going to handle Vegas in this series, but it just doesn't look like that's happening.
No, it doesn't. And frankly, to be clear, I am pretty mad at one team. It has nothing to do with their jerseys. It has everything to do with every single person in hockey going, hey, your goalies kind of suck.
Yeah.
You might want to fix that. No, we're good. Martin Jones, .838 save percentage, worst in the playoffs so far. Aaron Dell, .861 save percentage, third worst in the playoffs right now. Hey, guys, shocker. It's still a problem, and you're one game away from being eliminated. We talked about when do the Sharks end up losing because of their goaltending? When does that sink the ship? I thought they would have been able to put four games together, but apparently I was drastically wrong there. They've been so bad that the Stone, Pacioretty, and Stastny line are 1, 2, and 3 in playoff points right now.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them are averaging over 2 points per game. Like, this is unreal. They've given up, at one of the games, they gave up a goal in the first 90 seconds of every period.
Yep.
Holy cow!
Yep.
They're leaning too much on Karlsson as he's coming back from injury, and they're doing nothing else to help these goalies. What would have probably helped? Oh, I don't know, trade for a goalie. Jimmy Howard might have been available.
Yes.
Anything. It's like watching a little kid. You go, hey, don't touch that. That's going to hurt. You're going to burn your hand. And the kid's like, no, I got this. I'm fine. No, but he's a stupid kid, and he burned his hand, and now he's crying. And who could have seen this coming? Morons.
I love it. I love it. Come to the dark side, my friend. No, the Sharks are dreadful.
I'm pissed because now I don't. First off, the Wings compensation, they're not going to get that condition kicked in. So selfishly, that sucks. Also, I'm not going to get to watch Karlsson play anymore. Joe Thornton, goodbye to his chances at a cup before he retires. Looks like that's going by the wayside. This is ruining this series for me. Granted, Vegas, ton of fun to watch, and I'm going to be over it by the next round. But I'm angry that San Jose is going to get unceremoniously ousted because, oh, they couldn't avoid the rake in the yard that we all saw they were going to step on.
I love
wow,
it.
Okay. Now that was Russ's 30 minutes of therapy. We're billing him for it. That's how we make money on this show.
Worth every penny.
We make money on this show?
Shit.
Yeah, wait, what?
Cut their mics. Okay. This is the Eric Dorr show now because that didn't work out. Anyway, let's move on. Jay, the show you were, the team you were actually talking about, Calgary, they're down 3-1 to Colorado. How? I mean, we went through this one, and that seemed like the team that was going to be very, very good all throughout this. And down 3-1 to a Colorado team, that's a little surprising.
Yeah, you know, Colorado was without Mikko Rantanen for the first game, and I thought that was going to be a great opportunity for things to shift in Calgary's way for the rest of the series. But, you know, it's just they're frustrated. I was watching that game last night, and that's what the announcers were saying. That you can just look at Johnny Gaudreau, and he is just he's taking out his frustrations on the ice. There was a scrum after almost every single whistle in that first period, and Calgary just can't seem to put it together, which is shocking. I think it's going to lend on when we start talking, or it's going to lend to once we start talking about Tampa Bay and just teams peaking and just things happening at different times. And I hope that this series pushes to seven and Calgary makes a strong surge back to it. But, you know, you got Cal Makar. Russ, what's the pronunciation of the dude's last name? Is it Makar or Maker?
Maker. Kale Maker.
Maker.
Or Makar. It's technically Kale Makar.
That's the pronunciation I've been hearing is Makar. That dude showing up, and that has ignited some energy into Colorado. I don't know if he's on the second or third line, but I was shocked. I didn't think Colorado was going to be who they are right now, and they've got the series lead.
Oh, I'll forgive you for saying he might be a second, third line because he's a very offensive defenseman.
But he is playing what line is he running on right now?
The second pairing.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I'm forgiven because I too know nothing about sports this week.
Why are you the way that you are?
Yeah, Kale Makar, young offensive defenseman, did score his first career goal in his first playoff game. So I will forgive you for thinking that he was a forward because he's certainly playing like it at times.
Well, dude, I watched that goal that he had, and he was juggling his way into the slot, and I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, then my brain automatically spotted him as a winger. So I appreciate the insight.
Yeah. So he's the kind of secondary scoring that Colorado's been lacking, and, hey, it's showing up. But what's most shocking is Colorado's up 3-1, and it has nothing to do with Mike Smith imploding. Who knew? Mike Smith's got a 931 right now, and if you would have told me that Calgary lost a single series, I would have thought, well, it's because, you know, Mike Smith did the Mike Smith thing. But he's been good, and it has been surprisingly Calgary's top line not showing up. So it gives me hope that we'll see it go to seven because, you know, the weakness isn't being a weakness right now, and I have more faith that Johnny Gaudreau is going to wake up and Sean Monahan's going to wake up and they'll start scoring. Then, you know, Mike Smith right boat. It's there.
Yeah.
He just got to get something right.
And I think that's what you just said, that's why they're frustrated, because they can do it, and it's not because of a lack of goalie. It's just a lack of puck luck, hockey gods. It's something intangible, because I don't know why Colorado has a lead, but they do.
It's probably that Rat King shirt that Kachuk
wore. Oh, my God, that thing is glorious. I love the Kachuk bros. They're awesome. They're good for hockey.
They are fun. And until they lick someone's face, I'm okay with you liking that scrapper.
That's allowable, too. There's nothing wrong with licking.
Oh, boy. Moderator, what's the next series?
What?
Oh, no.
No. I was with you the whole way. Jay, I will give you a precursor. If you mention that or talk about this person in a positive way when we get to that series, you know the punishment awaiting you, so you have to weigh your options here. Before we get to it, though, this was a series that, if I remember correctly, when we were going through this, we were a little split on it, and that's Winnipeg-St. Louis. It's a 2-2 series right now. Russ, kind of give me the overview on your opinion of this series thus far.
Well, I had St. Louis coming into it because, well, Binnington was one of the hottest goalies in the league coming up, and Tarasenko found his stride in the second half of the season. That's exactly where we're at right now. Binnington's kind of cooled off. He's at a 902. But St. Louis is hanging around. We still haven't seen Winnipeg come back to what Winnipeg is. You know, Big Buff's taken a lot to, you know, finally get back up to where we expected him to be, where he really wasn't in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it is where it is. But until Winnipeg starts being the Winnipeg we thought they were at the beginning of the season, I still like St. Louis to finish this out. They're actually trending up, whereas Winnipeg's just trying to claw back to their normal.
Okay. I'm with you on that one. Jay, because I feel like your opinion would probably be pretty similar, I'm not going to ask you about Winnipeg or St. Louis because I don't want to hear you say bad things about my Jets. So I'm going to have you give me your input on the next series because I this one to me, I even when we were putting together the bracket and all that, I probably wrote both teams' names in there about five times just because I couldn't tell you who I would pick to win this one. That's the Predators in Dallas. So when you look at this series, it's a 2-2 split right now. Where are you leaning at this point?
Dude, this is one that we predicted that I was just like, I don't know what the hell to do. And I think it's the most intriguing series out of all the postseason. I still don't know what the hell to do. I do lean toward Nashville more so than Dallas. But like last night, the Stars put up five goals. They almost had a shutout in that game. But
Chase Rene, too.
Yeah, no, like, Rene's been, dude, like, this is what happened. This game is so, or the series is so bipolar in the sense that you think you know how each team's going to play, and then it just gets flipped on its head the next day. They're tied at two. I'm still going to go Preds. They'll squeak out the next two games, but you don't know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis between these two, and it's very fluid. So I still don't know. So that's on the edge of your seat hockey right there.
All right. You recap me perfectly. I genuinely don't know which way this one could go. It's a very interesting one. Russ, real quick, do you have any insight to maybe make us understand this any better?
Well, I'll say this. The one big problem we had with Dallas going in is they had a top line and not a lot else. And that's proving not to be the case so far through four games. Matt Zuccarello, I mean, aside from Stone, is proving to be one of the best trade deadline acquisitions. All the guy has done since he got there is score and get hurt. And, well, he's not hurt anymore, so guess what he's doing? He also might have been looking to score staring at that ice girl a little too long while the camera lingered on him, which wasn't a great look. But on the ice, he is scoring, and he is doing great there. And I don't think Dallas even was ready for how good Miro Heiskanen is.
Yeah.
That is a good young offensive defenseman that is really shoring up their blue line. Nashville, really, if I'm honest, they should be down Subban next game because he did exactly what Kucherov did, and he doesn't look like he's going to get suspended for it. But they don't have the top-end scoring that I think really helps secure a playoff win. So if Rene is going to be shaky and no one's really going to step up for Nashville, they are ripe for the taking.
All right. Yeah, that gave me nothing, man. You still didn't give me what I needed to know to get through. No, that's fine. It's fine.
Going seven. We'll say that.
It's good. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. Gives me, you know, a few more games to try to figure out where the hell to go with this one.
Yeah, you got a week.
All right, so here's the fair trade-off because I want to hear what he has to say. So I'm going to give Russ one more analyst, and then Jay, as soon as Russ is done with it, I'll let you go off on the Boston-Toronto series, okay? So gear yourself up. Get as ready as you need to. If you need to mute yourself and, you know, a couple big screams to get going, go for it. Russ, give me the info on this Caps-Carolina series as it's 2-1 Washington right now.
Well, besides seeing a 19-year-old get murdered on the ice, it's been very, very entertaining. I will say this. Hey, everyone was all up in arms, you know, positive and negative about the Ovechkin and Svechnikov fight. I believe it was the first fight between two Russians ever in Stanley Cup playoff history, so there's that. But also, the Caps ended up getting outshot 45-15 in that game. Like, it wasn't close, and that gap got bigger after the fight. It wasn't this big momentum swing for Washington that you would think for, you know, having a 34-year-old Ovechkin knock the lights out of 19-year-old Svechnikov. But this is exactly what we thought coming into this might happen. Carolina is a big Corsi team, right? They're always killing it in shot share. So if Washington doesn't continue to have that abnormally high shooting rate that they've somehow turned into a repeatable skill, they're going to fall behind. And that's what happened. So I still think Washington takes it out because they still have the horses and, well, they're down a very talented winger right now. But this is going to be very interesting the rest of the way.
I like it. I do like it. And yeah, watching him get taken out, that was rough. I'm not going to lie. I remember seeing the text. I wasn't actually watching the game at the time, but I switched over, watched it, and it was rough. All right. Quick disclaimer. If you have small children who are susceptible or you just don't want to hear a little man speak about another little man who likes to lick people, I recommend you turn off this podcast for the next few minutes, because Justin Marcus is about to go to war here. Jay, Boston, Toronto, go for it.
All right. So I appreciate the intro, but you know, putting hyperbolic bullshit aside, this series is exactly what I wanted it to be, and I've got a stat that makes me happy about it, and it's like a fuzzy stat because I just did some rough math, and you know, I know how that goes.
Oh, God. Russ, I have a calculator ready. Check the math real quick.
Yep, I'm ready.
Check the math. Okay.
I'm pretty sure if you fact check it, it's pretty close. I just did some rough guessing, but each team is averaging 38 hits a game.
Okay.
Each team. And it's gotten higher as you go on, and you average out each game. Or for hits per team per game.
Okay.
This is the most physical series out of all of them, and I absolutely love it. The physicality is what slows down the offensive speed of both teams, because both teams can wheel and deal the puck like none other. And it limits scoring opportunities. And the checking and the hitting and the Charas and the Hymans and everything that is happening in this game is based on the physicalities, and I love every second of it. That is my style of hockey. We are tied 2 apiece on each side, and I still think Boston is going to take it. I am happy that Boston got through playing on Toronto's home ice and splitting with them. Last night's game was awesome. 2 empty netters, I believe, that happened for Boston. But I still believe Boston is going to win it because they are tougher than Toronto. I don't think Toronto can match them in size and in toughness. They can definitely match it in skill and speed. And Matthews is finally getting points in the postseason, which I love to see as well. But that Pasternak line went for 6 points last night. And if they continue to do that, Toronto cannot keep up with it. It doesn't matter if they have Tavares. Boston is still going to win this in 7.
Okay. Wow. That wasn't as angry and over the top as I thought it was going to be. I'd be lying if I said I was a little disappointed. But it's okay, Jay. You did a great job. And I didn't hear you say anything overly nice about Marchand, so I'm going to allow it. I like it.
Oh, by the way, I'll let Marchand lick my face for free. I've got no problems with that either.
Oh, whoop.
Like, I want to have, like, a three-way with both of them.
I'm going to say that's Pasta and Marchand, by the way. Those are the other two you want right now. So, all right. We got through everyone, and we know there are 2 games where we know who's playing in the next round. It happened pretty quick, and it happened pretty surprisingly. So, Jay claims he called it. We'll have to go back through and check the tape to double-check it. But, Russ, if I had told you a week ago that we'd be sitting here today and Columbus and the New York Islanders would both already be through to the next round, one, which of the two would you have actually taken the bet on? But two, how soon would you have had them in here putting the straitjacket on me?
I'd have been in there pretty quick going, yeah, okay, sure they both sweep, sure. And mainly because Columbus, not because Columbus is bad, but because Tampa Bay was historically good.
Yes.
But if I had to pick one, I would have guessed the Islanders, and part of that is because they were actually the higher seed in that matchup. They mm-hmm. should have been the favorite for it. Everyone's just kind of been waiting for the pumpkin or the carriage to turn back into a pumpkin for this team.
Yeah,
but Barry freaking Trotz, man! Like that's the best thing I could say about this is Barry freaking Trotz. He ran the 1-3-1 to death in Washington. And now he's completely changed the way that his team is playing. They are avoiding all of this neutral zone trapping that a lot of teams are going to, that Washington made so successful last year. And he's just completely changed what he does. And apparently all he does is beat the Penguins in the first round, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, good for him. I can't wait for him to go to a different team next year so he can beat the Penguins in the first round again then. That'll be fun.
All right. Real quick, because we're going to talk about this team in a second. I would just like to point out that Yahoo Sports just put out Lightning star Nikita Kucherov says he didn't learn anything from his playoff suspension. I feel like that's just something we need to put out there. Didn't learn his lesson. He got suspended. Like that kid, I know I gave him a wedgie, but I didn't learn anything from it. I'm going to give him a wedgie next week, too. So I really enjoy it, and it just shows that some people you just can't change by saying, you can't play for a little bit. In case you didn't pick up that hint, the guy I was referring to, his name is Vontaze Burfict. He doesn't learn lessons. He just learns to kill people. So it's tough. Jay, you said you called it. I'm going to believe you until I can prove otherwise, which I may not be able to prove otherwise, so I'll believe it, I guess. Fingers crossed.
You better believe it.
If only we recorded our conversation.
If only I had a way to fact check this. But that would involve me listening to the show, and I don't know about that one. New York Islanders, Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to put you one step further. New York Islanders, Washington Capitals. Can he do it against his former team? Can he take out Ovi? Can he put this team to bed? Knowing this guy literally has the inside track. He knows half those players, if not more, perfectly. He knows their strong suits. He knows their weaknesses. This is legitimately a case scenario where this coach is returning to the Lions' den. Can he handle the Caps if it comes to that?
All right. So just to answer the question and dive into it, yes. I think that the playoffs are a different machine when it comes to understanding how it works. And I told you, and you can go fact check it, that the Isles are going to win because of their William Jennings Trophy winning goalie tandem. And that's exactly what they did. They stifled the Pittsburgh Penguins. Lehner's save percentage is a .956 with a 1.47 GAA. He destroyed them. He absolutely shut down Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, and Guentzel. And when you try to compare that over to Washington, yeah, they've got Ovechkin, and they got Oshie, and they got Backstrom, but they don't have – I mean, they have supportive secondary scoring, but not to the depths of what Pittsburgh has, in my opinion. So you go put him – you put Trotz up against his former team in Ovechkin. I think he's hanging in there just fine. I think – you know, the Islanders are a cute story, but their goalie tandem is what's saving them. And, you know, you let Barzal and you let I'm blanking on the other dude's name over there. I think they could do it, man. I honestly do, because they're doing it between the pipes and it's working for them.
Sorry, my mic cut out for some reason. Listen, Jay, I wasn't listening to a word you said. I was fact-checking.
Oh,
but...
come on. Once a week.
No. I'm just joking. I like the potential for the series. I like the idea that the Islanders and the Caps go against each other. And because you know the headlines. Coach is coming back to the former team where he led them to the mountaintop. Is he going to be able to close them out? And I think it'll be interesting. I think it makes for a very quick... all of a sudden rivalry to see. I mean, it would almost be like if Scotty Bowman left here after like 90, 98, 99, whatever, and, went to, Pittsburgh or went to Chicago or, went to somewhere else. And right after that year, we meet in the playoffs. It would be that, that axe to grind kind of thing. You have to pick your side. Are you with the coach? Are you with the players? And it makes for a fun series, an interesting series. I don't think the Islanders, can get past the Caps if they meet with the Caps. I think that team's got a lot of talent, and they're the defending champions, so you got to give them their due there. So, I mean, we'll see. It should be interesting. Russ?
Can I throw one more wrench in there?
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe us because we're sickos, but who wants to watch Islanders Hurricanes? That's got to be horrible for ratings. So I hope
that to me almost sounds like how we talked about the Virginia Texas Tech game being just boring as hell. That is what I think it would be. I just think the storyline, the competitiveness, because I tweeted it out in all this. Someone has to explain to me how the Islanders are a seller or, you know, a bottom of the barrel team for years with one of the best players in the league. And that best player in the league moves on, and all of a sudden they're taking down the Pittsburgh Penguins, a team that's, you know, that's got a lot of great players, and they're in conversation to move around in this playoff. It does not make sense to me, and it's why sports is just an absolute enigma. You can debate it until you're blue in the face, but there is no right or wrong answer to anything, and the Islanders are proof of that. This is a team that at the start of this year, I don't think anybody would have picked them to, you know, win a series in the playoffs. And now they've done it, and now they're on, and they're potentially going to be going up against Trotz's former team. It's going to be very interesting and a lot of fun. But, yes, I think if Carolina Islanders happen, one of you can update me on that one because there's very little chance of me watching that series.
Oh, I'll watch those bunch of jerks.
Go for it, man. Now, if Carolina was going to start doing their celebrations again, I'm in. I'll watch just for the celebrations. It'd be a lot of fun. Russ, on the other side, Tampa Bay Lightning. They had statistically one of the best years in sports. I saw the stat on Instagram of the teams that had record years. You know, Golden State goes 73-9 or whatever to break the all-time win record in the NBA. They don't win a title. These teams just do these amazing things. Tampa, right there in that conversation. And they lose round one to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Another team who, start of the year, I don't think anybody had them going much. They were big buyers at the deadline, brought in a bunch of players. I've said multiple times, I really would like to see them win this because I think it's their best chance because they're not going to be able to afford to keep everyone that's going to be having to leave at the end of this year. And I think it'll be fun to see. Kind of a surprise, but takeaway from this Columbus game or this Columbus-Tampa series is what for you?
Well, first off, it's the playoffs. You better have goaltending. Vasilevsky 856, Bob 932. That can sink or win a series by itself. The other thing, though, when your top point producer is defenseman Eric Cernak with 3 points, yikes, Tampa Bay. You're in a lot of trouble. They got stifled by a forecheck that they had no idea how to cope with. It was a very aggressive 2-3, just two-man getting after the puck when they could force it over to the strong side. And Tampa Bay had no way to deal with it. They started dumping the puck. They started getting frustrated. There's both statistical and just kind of narrative conversations that you can have about this. And both of them end with, Tampa Bay didn't play like Tampa Bay. And holy shit. How do you go from winning 62 games to getting swept? It is the first time ever that a President's Trophy winner has been swept in the first round. Good job, Tampa Bay. You were just as historic as we thought, just maybe not in the same way.
Yeah, I texted you guys during the fourth game that Columbus just looked faster, just ahead of it.
More aggressive. They did.
It was like watching a team that they jumped on the ice and they said, you know what? On paper, in everybody's minds, we're not the better team. And you know, you could say, you know, play 100 games. Do they, you know, are they able to take, you know, a majority of the 100? Maybe not, but they embrace that. We get four games that we just have to go out there and just be better than them for those four games as hard as we can. And they did it. And here we are. They're sitting on top. They've won the series. They're waiting on the Boston Toronto series. And I think that's going to be a great game. No matter who wins in the Boston Toronto series, Columbus against either of those teams, I think it's going to be very interesting, and it's for Jay. I know you become a big fan of him. It's for Tortorella. To hear his locker room speech when they to play one of these two, I think will be phenomenal. Will be amazing. Now, I want to hear Jay's input on this, but I never break into this show for much, but I have to break in one time. We have breaking news. I was wrong. I said something, didn't believe it. And while you guys were going, I fact-checked it, and I don't know if we'll be able to hear this. We're going to try. But if we can hear it, I was wrong.
They've got their two best goaltenders for, I forget what the trophy's called, but between Greiss and Russ, help me, who's the other goalie for them?
Leonard.
Thank you. Between the two of them, they're going to win between the pipes for Islanders. I got Islanders over Pitt in 7 games.
Okay, Aaron?
I was wrong, folks. Justin actually called the Islanders winning that series.
Partial credit, though. Because he forgot the Williams-Jennings Trophy and Robin Leonard's name.
Okay, partial credit goes to you. Jay, you were wrong, though. You said this was going to go to seven. So,
Jesus.
No. Hey, listen. When I admit it. I said I will believe you till I prove otherwise. I believe you. You called it. I was wrong. I'm man enough to say I was wrong. I've secretly destroyed this entire studio in anger, but I was wrong. So, Jay, for you, I know you're like we said, you're a Tortorella fan. You like it. The speeches, it's kind of fun to see. I've put in a couple calls to make it so that your alarm clock will be a call from him every day, giving you a motivational speech to get up and just do your everyday life. And I think that would be an amazing gift. I'm working on it, buddy. I promise. I'll do my best to get it for you. But looking at this series, it was an amazing one. Columbus is just big. But I asked you the question with the Islanders. I'm going to ask you the question with Columbus. Tampa Bay was, on paper, the best team. So from here on out, it should be easy road. We know that's not the case. But if you're a Columbus fan, let's just put you in the mindset of your Columbus is your team. They're the team you want to see get all the way through. If you're Columbus, with this being a 2-2 series, who do you want to see coming out of that Boston-Toronto series that makes you more comfortable to get the wins to move on?
That's difficult because I always like to think about the road games, and I don't think you're going to have there's not an easier experience playing in Toronto or Boston.
No, I mean, there's not.
I think it see, for Columbus, as a fan, I would already feel like you won. You got your first postseason series victory. You took down the dogs, like the champs. Like you should feel like you've already won, and anything after the fact is just okay if you lose or you win. Obviously, you take down Tampa, you think you're going to win the whole damn thing. Well, there's something to be said about the length of seven-game series and being in those moments and being clutch.
Well, I get it. You're not going to necessarily sweep every series. That's not going to happen. But what I will say is you said you like to think about road games. And I agree. Boston and Toronto, those are two very tough places to play. But doing my simple math, and someone can fact-check this, Tampa Bay was the number one team, which meant they had home ice. So you had to play them at home two times. And you would have had to play them more times if it extended to four. But should road games really scare you if you took out the number one team in all of the playoffs two times on the road? Road games shouldn't be that horrifying to you because you've proven, hey, we can win on the road. We don't have a problem. We're able to get it done on the road. If anything, that should be a boost to confidence. If this game had gone to five games because they had won both home and then lost one on the road, you got to be a little more weary. But two wins on the road is a big thing. It really does, or has to, give you a large amount of confidence.
Yeah, I think when you go into Original Six Barns, you've got different kinds of understandings of where you're playing and what you're doing. The TD Garden versus wherever the hell Toronto plays. I don't know their arena's name, but I if I'm Columbus, I would want to take on probably Boston. If I had to pick it, because I just feel like if Matthews gets really hot and Mitch Martin are doing what he's doing, blocking shots, and Vasilevskiy in net, I think Vasilevskiy's a better goaltender between Rene and Halak. So if I'm Columbus, I would want to take on Boston. But then again, if I'm Columbus, I've got one of the more entertaining coaches in the league right now. And maybe it's because the league is just stifled with not having all kinds of personalities. But
yeah.
I watched that speech by Tortorella no less than like 12 times. And I had a pretty damn successful week this week, work-wise. So it just Tortorella translates to a lot of good things. And he's just saying all the right stuff for them. Even getting beers dumped on his head. He's loving it. So.
All right, Ross. So if you're a Columbus fan, you're pushing for Columbus. It's the same question. Would you rather know you got to play at least two at the TD Garden or two at Scotiabank Arena? That's the name of their arena, by the way, Jay.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
You should have guessed, because everything in Canada is named after Scotiabank.
Yeah, it's fair.
That's very fair.
So, well, you've been to Toronto. I mean, I don't know if you've been to this stadium, but you've been to Toronto. So.
Yep.
If you're a Columbus fan or you're a Columbus player, which of these two, I agree, Jay, you did point out something good. You're going into an original six den. Like, there's only six of them, and they're some of the best teams to ever do it, so, except for a couple of them. But which one would you take if you had to?
If I had to, I would pick Boston, because I think they're more of a one-line team, even though that one line is arguably the best line in the entire league. And Tuukka Rask is liable to Tuukka shit at any moment. So there's that bit of variable that is always going to be present. It's tough because they're both good teams. They're not as good as Tampa, but they're both really good teams, and it's going to be a tough series no matter what. But, geez, after knocking off Tampa Bay, you could roll out the 2002 Detroit Red Wings. You could bring out the Western Conference All-Stars. Columbus isn't going to be fazed by it. They're playing with house money, and they're rolling, and you could drop them right into a Roman Gladiator stadium, and I don't think it's going to bother them.
All right. I like it. Listen, if all things being equal, I guess, if you're going to say it, I think I would rather play Toronto. I think that of the two, Boston to me just has that grit. They have that, they could really throw you off. And there's that guy on that team that I absolutely hate. I'm not even going to mention his name. And if you're talking about the chance to be going through that next round, there's nothing I would check out, or there's nothing that I think they would take out of their game to get in these guys' heads. And I would like to see Columbus keep going. So I think Toronto has a lot of talent, but I just think between the two, it might be a little bit of an easier get through for them. That's where I am with it. We'll see what happens with it. Honestly, I don't think it's going to be a bad series no matter who plays, but it'd be fun. To me, it'll never happen. I don't think it'll happen, but I think it'd be awesome to see an Islanders-Columbus matchup. I think that'd be a great time.
Oh my god!
I really think it would.
Oh my god!
Justin would have a massive erection, but I think it'd be a good time.
I will geek out on all that, but you have TV executives just like falling off their seats right now hearing that.
Oh no, I know. That's why I said it. All right. So last topic of the day. Only got a few minutes, but I posed this question before the Masters even. And we didn't really cover it, but it was an interesting question, and it happened, and it just kept going with me. A guy put an $85,000 bet. This guy has, you know, house. The article came out. He's got kids in college. He's got two car payments. He's got a mortgage. He took every cent he could afford to lose. Which, by the way, if you can afford to lose $85,000, I think you're doing pretty well. I think you're doing all right. But he puts $85,000 on Tiger to win the Masters. Payout, what he would get, not including his money back, was $1.19 million. So he's doing pretty well. I think he's comfortable. I think the cars are paid off. The kids are going to go to college for 4 years, no problem. One of them could be a doctor if they really want to. It's totally up to them now. But it made me think, if you had this money, if you had the ability. Because, like, Russ, like you said, you're not a gambler. I'm the same way. Like, I don't mind bet here and there. It's fun and all that. They don't usually get too high. But if you had the money, what would be a long shot bet you'd be willing to put the money down on to take a chance on? Because Tiger Woods was a long shot to win the Masters. I think there was probably 20 guys you could arguably say were above him. And that's being fair. 20 guys above him that I think you'd probably lay money on more comfortably, because it'd been 11 years. It literally, like, there are kids about to go in middle school that had never seen Tiger win a major. So it's something. It's different. So I know, Jay, you put together a little list for us of wagers. So how I want to do this is, Jay, I'm going to hand the mic over to you. You pose the question. Russ and I are the bettors. We'll let you know if we're laying money or not.
Excellent. Yeah, so because I'm handling something, there is a good chance of a flub of a bet. So full disclosure, I might, you know, took a shit in a minute here, but I've got ten scenarios that I will throw up there, and we'll see how they work. So the first one I've got, if you're throwing money on it or not, we're going to stay to the topic that we were just touching on. Tampa Bay to win the Cup next season?
See, you know what? Tampa Bay to take... this is where I have to ask a question because you guys are a little more knowledgeable than me. Any of the big names not guaranteed to be back next year? Hedman, Kucherov, Stamkos, yada, yada.
No, it'll be more like their secondary or tertiary guys like Girardi or someone like that that might not
I'm
be
blanking
back.
On the name of Vasilevsky, the goalie. He'll still be there next year.
He'll be there.
I think I would if you told me at the start of the year or whenever I have to lay money on them winning the Stanley Cup, I think it'd be a fair case because I feel like this team's going to come back twice as hungry. It's kind of like Golden State losing the championship. They came back with a fury and just took over. So yeah, I could see it happening. Yeah, I would put money to that one.
Okay, Russ.
Yeah, I actually also would too, and this argument really has no statistical backing at all. But Virginia loses to a 16 seed, and I picked them to win the next year. Well, this feels an awful lot like losing to a 16 seed. So yeah, let's go with Tampa Bay next year. That makes sense.
Okay.
Wow, you guys just got broke real quick. But no, I like the commitment. All right, next one because we're gonna speed around a couple of these.
All right,
very simple. Wings make the playoffs next year. Put money on that or no, Eric?
No, I don't put money on that one. All year I've been the optimist. I don't put money on that one. I just think if Stevie comes, assuming the draft goes right, I just think we're still a year or two away from making the playoffs and being a competitive team again.
Okay. All right. Russ, your take?
I would put money on them not making the playoffs.
There is
no way I'm spending a dollar on betting that the Wings make the playoffs next year. Okay. No.
Jay, do you put money on it?
No. So we're all locked up on that one. So that might be the flub. I just wanted to see if anyone would be willing to risk some skin on the Wings next year.
As optimistic as I am, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I just think year or two away, and I've said it multiple times, I don't think Blashill is the guy to get us to the playoffs. I think Blashill is the placeholder. That's where I sit with that one. And I will until he can prove me otherwise. So
fair. All right, so last hockey-related one, because I do have other sports in here as well.
Okay.
This is an interesting one that I would actually lay money on, but the odds of a Canadian hockey team to win the Cup in the next 5 years, and I'm caveating it with the fact that the last team to do it was the Habs, and it was 26 years ago.
Well, come on. Ottawa's clearly going to win the Stanley Cup next year. Let's be honest.
Oh, this guy.
Vancouver, Toronto, Ottawa. No.
Calgary, Winnipeg.
I'm going through. Outside of Toronto, Calgary, Winnipeg, I don't think. No. I would say no. I wouldn't lay money on that one.
Wow. Okay. Russ?
Yeah, I would. I would bet that does happen in the next 5 years.
Oh, next 5 years. Okay, that's my bad. I misheard that one. I thought you were continuing with the 1 year thing. Okay, that's
no,
my
I,
bad. No,
I gave it some time.
That's
because
fine.
It's been 26 years since it's happened.
Okay, that's my bad. Then yes. I in 5 years, yeah, I could see one of those teams gearing up enough to do it. That's my bad. Okay, yeah, I would lay money on that one.
All right, so no dissension amongst the three of us. We're all locked up on that one as well. Okay. We'll have a little bit more fun here now. Here's a fun one. This one I would put money on, and I want to see if you guys would as well, but I thought it'd be cute. The odds of LeBron retiring and then unretiring.
Oh, God.
Because he seems like he's the kind of guy just to do that.
No. I think once LeBron hangs it up, LeBron will be fine to hang it up. LeBron has planted a seed in enough other industries, be it fashion. You know, he's a producer for TV shows, all this. I would put more odds on LeBron playing too long than I would retiring and coming back. I think once LeBron hangs him up, he'll be done. I don't see a Jordan or a Brett Favre kind of thing where he'll keep coming back. I think once he's done, he's done. I would actually say, Jada, for that one, just to make it more interesting, do you think Dwayne Wade unretires after a year?
No, I think when Wade is done, he's done. But for LeBron, I just feel like...
Wade's done. He retired.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. He's done. Like, he's done, he's done.
Okay.
For LeBron, I could totally see him, like, not wanting to move his talents to another fill-in-the-blank. He'll just retire and then be like, hey, surprise, I'm back. Let's talk about me again. So I think he's just that much of a douchebag.
I think he retires in L.A. I really do. I think he's in L.A. Everything he needs is there. So,
all right, Russ, split the difference here, buddy.
I'm also going with no, but I think he might even retire too soon.
Hmm.
Mainly because what Eric had mentioned about him having his hands in some other things. He's already in L.A. He's already gotten a taste for doing some movies. And this is a guy with a lot of miles on his body. He's had to drag a lot of bad Cleveland teams through this. L.A.'s not looking so good either. How much longer does he really want to keep doing this same song and dance where he has to carry a group of scrubs and vet minimums to the championship, especially playing, you know, with Golden State in the same conference?
Yeah.
No, I think when he's done, and he's got plenty of avenues that he'll get all the money, attention, everything that he needs still.
Now, whether he does it or not, he has been quoted as saying he would like to play at least a season with his son, kind of like Griffey Sr. did.
Mm-hmm.
But his son is bare minimum about 5 years away. He's still, I don't think he's even in college or in high school yet. So he's at least got to get through high school. And potentially, depending on how it works, if he's younger than 18 when he graduates high school, at least a year of college. So he's at least four, maybe 5 years away from even being able to play in an NBA court. So more than likely, you're not going to see his son there till 2025 at the earliest.
Well, let's hope that Lansing gets their stuff together so we can actually, you know, put some money on a shop and hope that we can see if that happens or not.
Okay.
All right. Moving to football, because that's all I got for basketball, trust me. this is another interesting one. Either Brady or Belichick playing or coaching for another team ever. Nope. That, to me, is the longest long shot in this whole list that I have.
No.
And I don't know if I'd put money on that. What says you guys?
Nope. The second Brady retires, Belichick retires, they never look back. My only thing, if you're gonna leave it just to playing and coaching, no. I could potentially see Brady coaching later on, but I could see Belichick taking an advisor role with some team, whether it's the Patriots or not. I could see him taking some kind of like advisor role where he really doesn't do much, but he just kind of gets a call every once in a while. Hey, we're looking at getting this guy. What do you think? No, that I could see him just because that's the best impression I can do of Belichick. But playing coaching, no. Once they're done in New England, and that's it for that.
Okay, Russell.
Plus, who's going to really want a 43-year-old quarterback? Because any team that's going to be able to get him is going to be starting from scratch. They're not going to have enough time to build around him.
John Elway will probably take him.
Probably.
He likes old quarterbacks, right?
Probably, yeah.
It's a hard no from me. It's that those are two guys that I think there might be a better chance of one of them just dying in the position that they currently have than leaving the Patriots and going and in the same capacity with another team. Belichick, I'll be kind of surprised if he doesn't take some kind of front office role after he's finally decided to stop coaching. But Brady, he's got the open checkbook, and he's going to be there as long as he can go.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, I purposely wanted to jump to that one because that was like the best of the best of the list. The rest of them we could probably touch in on another day, especially the Little Caesars ever unveiling their red seats again. But
that'll never happen.
We'll have to save that for another date.
Yeah, that'll never happen, by the way. Never gonna happen. Alrighty. Well, that was good, Jay. I enjoyed that. I something tells me when we get into best of season, that's gonna be something we'll have to touch back on, because I think there's quite a few we could come up with that we could go a little while with. So that being said, that's gonna do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Jay Marcus, man, that was a good one. I enjoyed it. We're gonna have to start giving you your own segment here every once in a while. You're pretty good at this.
Hey, I'll be more than happy to, man. You give me an opportunity to talk about Marchand, I'm going to take it.
And just so you know, we're interviewing for co-host because Jay just knocked himself out in one swing. It's kind of become a repeated trend for me to say it, so one day I'll come up with something more creative, Russ. But until then, thanks for making us sound smarter than we really are, buddy.
Hey, anytime, and looking forward to next week for the live show, NFL Draft.
The live show should be good. details on that when we got them, but we're definitely leaning forward. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. One small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.